Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Shiny Radio app for free now.
Welcome, welcome to Bashani Radio. This is the Get Your Business Right show with Michael Muse. You know who I am, Mr. Broadcastpreneur, aka the Fearless Coach. And you know we're all about helping people reach their goals and reach their dreams, because on this show, we understand in order to get your business right, you have to have three things to make it happen. One, you have got to be in the right environment. Two, you have to meet the right people. And three, you have to make the right power moves. And that's what we're about today. We're about making moves. And this young lady right here, she's been making moves for many, many years. She is not someone who lives a life of mediocrity. She's not someone who lives a life making excuses. She's not someone who lives her life letting the outside influences dictate her path and her journey. I want to introduce you, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only phenomenal Monet Harris.
Well, all right. That's what's up.
Monet, it is a privilege and honor to have you on today.
Well, I appreciate it. Likewise.
Because you personally, you have been setting the stage and you have been working with the youth, and you have been empowering people who have come into your circle, people who have come across your circle, and anyone who have come across your path. You have left encouragement. You have left a realization that no matter what a person goes through, they can accomplish things, they can conquer, and then also show that no matter what goes on, that they can win any battle that they are faced with. And you are so versed, like the Bible say, you know, you are truly the one with 10 talents, but see, you're using your talents. You're not the one that go off and hide, you know, you're using yours. You know, being a motivational speaker, spoken word, musician, comedian, and you're an advocate for our youth. And so I want to start from the beginning. What happened in your childhood, or what steps did it take for you to come into wanting to be a motivational speaker and doing spoken word? And what influenced, and what were the influences? Was it a particular person? Was it something you saw on TV? But what was that catalyst there?
It was God-given. That's all I can say. I grew up a little on the rough. It was a little rough. And I always had a desire for people not to go through what I went through, or not to feel how I felt. So it was like, if I can gather this, then I can give this back. That was one of the reasons why I went to college. So I was the first one in my family to go to college. It's like, okay, if you go to college, you go grab these nuggets, you bring them back to the hood. I don't like saying the hood, but I'm bringing it back to where people can know that they can go forward as well. And then just then, I think, and again, I would have to say it was God, because it took prayer before I even knew what I was praying for, before I even knew what I was looking up to. And then I just was blessed to have influential people in my life, like my mom, my godmother, my aunts, teachers, you know, that pushed me to go beyond what I could see. And then I always felt like I just had this like deep desire, like it was more than what meets the eye. Like it was more than just the forest size of the east side of Detroit. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it was like, I know it's more to life than this right here. So that's what pushed me.
Well, let's back. Let's take it back, because you said something a little earlier just now, where you mentioned that you didn't want other people to experience what you experienced. So what did you go through exactly? Pretty much, you know, when it comes to our childhoods and backgrounds and how we're raised, we all have been faced with some form of adversity. So what adversity did you deal with or had to come across to get to that point to overcome it?
Okay, well, I think the pivotal point in my life was my mom went to the Army. I was like 8 going on 9. And so when she left, you know, before I knew what the world was about, like my mom was a great mom. Like never, I didn't even know we were going through financially and we were going through because she never showed it. But when she left to better her life and hence better ours as well, when she left for a total of like 7 to 8 years. So we were with 7 different family members. I went to 8 different schools. I was labeled a disciplinarian issue, you know, because I'm 8, almost 15 before she came back. So that's a huge gap. But it left me, when you go into different households, you start to experience different things. Like I saw drug abuse. I grew up in domestic violence at that point. I was molested. So it was all those turning points. And at that point, I decided I would never let nobody else in my life. So not knowing now that it was abandonment that I was feeling, when you don't have that constant. And so those are some of the things I was like, I don't want anybody to ever feel like they can have. And each of my family members had different financial statuses. So I have a twin, so it's 2 of us. And so you go through where, you ever had Pro Wings before? The hard bottom gym shoes?
Yeah.
They like gym shoes / dress shoes? Yes.
Yes.
So I grew up and kids can be a little cruel. So it was that being bullied. So for me, it was like, I didn't want nobody to feel what I felt when they were trying to bully me. Thank God I had the tough enough skin to, I won't say bully back, but I didn't stand down. Right. So, you know, so those were some of the pivotal things that just touched me. Like when kids don't have or their parents don't have the ability to give to them, if I have the means to step in, I will always step in, you know, because I know what it's like when you lack. I know what it's like when you feel like you're not loved because you're shipped to so many different homes and you're in so many different schools. I'm like the professional new student, you know.
But you said one thing that I kind of want to elaborate on. You mentioned you went from family member to family member during that time. And of course they had different economic backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And of course you had to go to that, I'm assuming definitely some family members who didn't have much. And so as a kid, because you have experienced something that a lot of kids haven't experienced. You went from being in a household with, I'm assuming, all your needs taken care of, where you wasn't concerned about eating food, to
right,
being in a home where you're hearing conversations and possibly argument about food and resources being in the home. Mm-hmm. And so when you would see that take place, how did you process that? And because I know a lot of times, because you went from one extreme to the next.
Right.
Usually you go from having a rough time and things just getting better and you move on with your life, but you went from things were stable, good, then unstable, and et cetera. So how did you mentally process that time period and going through that?
The younger me processed it through anger. So I became the kid that people were afraid of. Because of my anger, I acted out by throwing chairs across classrooms, acting out, you know. So the younger me processed it through anger. And that's how it got out. But as I began to get older, and when I lived with my godmother, I want to say I was in the 8th grade. And that processing was like, look, well, no, let me backtrack. Because I went to Rosa Parks Middle School for the 7th grade. And that year, I would say my anger peaked. Because I ended up knocking somebody out and they didn't move. And that scared me. So,
hold on. You said you hit someone and you hit them so hard they were knocked out unconscious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
did they finally wake up?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, they did because I didn't get any charges, but I didn't stay alone.
So you didn't get charged, you didn't go to jail? Mm-mm.
I ran, what I did was I ran to my, it happened in school. I ran to my counselor office and I told her what I just did. I was so shooken and I was very scared. And I went to her and I told her what I did. And as opposed to her expelling me, suspending me, she kind of advocated for me. And in that moment, that's when my prayer life really became strong. Because again, I was brought up in a Baptist Baptist church. Right. I was brought up in church. So I knew of the word, but I didn't know the word. But I heard him say, if you pray, then these things. So I began to pray. Like, I wanted my anger to go away. I wanted my anger to go away. So, you know, by the grace of God, I didn't have any charges filed against me. The young man was okay, you know, but it was.
Said the young man was okay. So this was a boy, not a girl, but a boy.
Yeah.
And like you say, the family didn't want to press charges in the school, and that particular counselor advocated for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I don't know what was said behind closed doors, but I was allowed to come back to school the following week. And it was like, and I mean, sometimes you have to deal with repercussions. So some of his friends was like, you knocked him out. That was, you know, unfair. And I realized like my temper had to be controlled. Like I had to get something underway or I wouldn't be doing this interview right now. I'd probably be somewhere talking with some, you know, Free Monet on a t-shirt or something. But it was that where that was like the pivotal changing point. So, and that's how, and I began to process it then by really caring about other people's heart. Because so, I went from one extreme to the next.
Now, this question, because I kind of want to, because you mentioned going to 7-8 different schools. Hmm. So I'm going to assume you hadn't been at this school long. Am I correct?
I was only there for a year. It's only 7th grade.
Okay, and so, let's talk about that relationship with that particular counselor, because it had to be something about her. You didn't go to the principal's office. You didn't go to the vice principal's office. You didn't run home. You didn't run out the building and go home. What was it about that particular counselor that during that particular moment you felt, whatever reason, you felt safe and you felt comfort? What about her and who she is and to why you went to her, you ran to her office?
I really can't explain it. I remember what she looks like to the T. Can't recall her name, but I remember one instance she was like, you're so intelligent, you can do better. And it was, I made straight A's, but I was a headache, you know? So they was like, they couldn't kick me out of school because of my grades.
But you kept that, what's that? The school tests and the value, you know, all those meat tests and all those other stuff, you kept them looking good. They didn't want, you know, you was, like you say, you were a prize student academically, but like, but you said,
yeah, was,
you had no problem putting somebody to sleep.
But I mean, I don't know, but she, whatever she said, because when I told her, I remember her eyes getting really big, like, oh my God. So, and then she was like, sit right here.
So it's safe to say, after that incident, nobody slept on you.
Right.
hey, they knew when it came to you, they came correct. And they already knew. We saw what she did with him. So the girls already no. If she did that to him, and he's a boy, I don't want no part of her, because that means I'm gonna lose hair and everything if she jump on me.
Yeah, it was. Oh man.
Okay, but so let me ask you this question here, because you were a straight A student.
Mm-hmm.
I was a C student.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I wasn't knocking people out. So I was, right. I was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes. So I was a C student all across. Behavior was C, grades was C. I might get in trouble. I might not.
Mm-hmm.
But what did you, for you to be, to stay, number one, to be in those unstable environments on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. Most kids, once they go through situations at home where they're moving from place to place, usually the first thing that gets affected be the grades.
It's your grades.
And so I'm going to get me wrong, when I know the answer, but I want to hear from you on how you were able to maintain grades being type of environment. Being in a volatile environment.
I mean, well, my aunts weren't afraid to use the belt sometimes. And then two, I actually love to learn. I love to learn. So it was, if I couldn't get it here, I can get it here. Like I said before, like I knew it was more than just what I was seeing. So for me, that was the outlet for me to escape whatever else I was going on. So creative writing, English was like my best subject. Math was one of my better subjects. Science, I didn't like history. I never agreed with history. Some was one right.
And some tell me your spoken word says the same thing about your disagreeing with history, don't it?
Right. So those were outlets for me. Those were outlets. Yes. And then I was gaining so many associates. So I only really had like a two or three friends, but I was gaining so many associates, and it also gave me an outlet too to be as goofy as I needed to be within that. So it was like you had this big ball of like a whole bunch of question marks. So I was angry, but I was comical. I was smart, but I didn't listen. So it was like, you know, and I just used my school as like just a way to escape from whatever was going on at home.
Wow. So like you said, you mentioned the creative writing, which turned into the comedy. Mm-hmm. And how soon did you start doing the spoken word?
As early as fourth grade. And of course, okay. You know, that's like school. But then I just wrote a lot of poetry. And then I started performing in college.
Okay.
So about 98, I started performing.
Okay, you actually started performing spoken word. And was it your first time did you have fear the first time, or were you so empowered? Or were you so empowered by what you had to share that where the room had 5 people or 500 people, they were going to get get the same message from you in the same delivery?
Well, I'm scared today. Like I still get fear when I go behind the mic today. Because anytime you're sharing your heart, you're open. That's your vulnerability, and you're opening yourself up for criticism or praise. But my each time before I touch that mic, I'm like, decrease me and increase you. Whenever this is for, let it be for them. And so I delivered it in the same way that I wrote it. So, right. But I'm scared every time I go up there. Like I could be empowered all day. I'm nervous right now.
Well, there's no reason to be nervous. And for the audience, just in case you didn't know, just for disclaimer, I have been knowing Monet for many years, and I have seen her. I've seen her in part of her spiritual journey. I've got a chance to watch up close with her and her children, and I've seen up close with her and her the group that she performs with and sing and do spoken word with. And so you are definitely been phenomenal in all those things. And I want to hit on your spiritual journey. I remember you mentioned when you were younger and you said that when it came to your anger, I want to hit on that because you mentioned your anger and you remember praying to God, asking to deal with you with your anger. Kind of take us from there, because I know when it comes to anger, mm-hmm. and how did you, of course you prayed about, but let's take us through the process of how you dealt with it.
If you get scared enough, you'll start to deal with it. I was afraid of the person I was becoming. And seeing domestic violence, I knew how violent I could get, because there will be times where I would jump into the fight. Like, you know, you're not going to hit my aunt. So I knew how violent I could get. And that scared me. Even when I hit my sister with a baseball bat. And that was just pure, just anger. So that process, I was so scared. Like, I don't want to kill nobody. And then I don't want to go to prison. And then I don't want to die at the hands of somebody who has the same anger I have. So that's how I began to process it. And it's like pivotal things that happened, the bat incident and the knocking that young man out. It was like, okay, something has to change. Because anger was only a mask for all the other stuff I was dealing with. Sometimes you got bullies or you got people that act out in extreme anger. They don't know how to deal with their emotions. Too, because they're already insecure about something. and I'm already scared about something. So, and then dealing with like stuff like my father not being there, then my mom leaving, although I knew she left for a good reason, it's still, you know, we're still children, you know. And then having aunts where they like call us the terrible two, you know, and we're just young ladies trying to figure out our way. And we're placed in adult situations that's not fair to us. And then, you know, it just came to that point where it's like, enough is enough. Sometimes you gotta get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I'm glad I got sick and tired a lot earlier than now, or I probably wouldn't be sitting right here.
And what age were you? You mentioned that you saw how your behavior was gonna get worse, or possibly get worse for you. What age was that?
So what is seven? I'm a year behind because of my birthday. So seventh grade is what, I was like maybe 13. I think I was 13. And then when I was in high school, 15, I punched this girl in the face. And that scared me too, because she literally began to buckle. And it was just like, you a monster. Like, you gotta figure this out. If you want more for yourself, you gotta figure this out. Like, you gotta figure this out. So it was steps. Of course, I became milder as I got older because I wanted to go to college. And I was like, I'm going to college because there's nothing here for me in Detroit. But then that anger spurred again in high school. And then I went to Cody first, and then I transferred to Denby. Two totally different worlds.
So explain those worlds. What was the Cody world like?
Because I was coming from Bovia Middle School, Cody was like, it's the West Side, a little more chill. It, you know what I'm saying? Not as rowdy. I went to Denby, it was like a war zone. Cause you had the Lokes and the Headbangers, and they was like the majority of the school. My first week there, the gangs was fighting. They were jumping off fences on each other. And I was like, you got to be joking. And then I'm not capping on Denby because I love Denby. I'm a Denby Tar, the school I graduated from. But when I first went there, everybody seemed dusty. Like, you know, if you hit them, dust the fly off. Mm-hmm. That's what I was like. And then they were a lot more aggressive. And so I was like, what did I just walk into? Like, but I knew the people from Denby from the people from Rosa Parks. Cause I went to schools on East and West Side of Detroit.
So the good thing was when you got to Denby, there were at least some kids who, yeah, went, I'm assuming Rosa was a elementary school?
Rosa Parks was a junior high school.
Okay, so you had already been to a junior high, in other words, you've been to junior high school on the East Side and West Side. So when you went to Denby, you just kind of reconnected with the ones.
With some of the ones that was from Rosa Parks, yeah.
Okay.
So that's why I was like, oh, okay. But yeah.
Man, so let's talk about you. So you got into college. What college did you go to, and what did you decide to major in?
Go green, go white. Michigan State University. Majored in marketing. Majored in marketing. So, and I graduated.
on time, right?
On time, did it in 4 years, yeah.
Well, you better than me. I ain't graduated on time. I graduated late, real late.
I was rushing through. I was trying to get to the bag.
You're trying to get to the bag.
And I was trying to get to the bag, and I was trying to come back and let everybody know what I knew so we can come out of what we were already in, you know?
Exactly. So I get what you're saying. So you had a purpose when you went in. You already knew, once I graduate, I'm going to have the skill set. Let me arm myself with people around me, and we can go ahead and do some things to make, not only make my life better,
mm-hmm. make theirs
better. And like mm-hmm. you said, go back to the neighborhoods that you grew up in. Like I said, some assuming those were eight different neighborhoods you were around.
Right.
Between the East Side and West Side. Are you over Mac and B-Wick too? Mm-hmm. Oh Lord.
Right.
Well, some of the audience don't not gonna know because they're in different cities. But just ladies and gentlemen, just so you know. When she mentioned Mac and B-Wick, think of any intersection of your city where the downtrodden, drug infested, that's that block.
You can get almost anything illegal.
Yeah, anything illegal. Wow, that's and so you took this marketing skills and you started a company, a media company. Yeah. So what was the inspiration at starting your media company? The Fusion.
Actually, I started a foundation first. I started a foundation first called Divas Foundation.
Divas Foundation.
Yep. So it was Divine Intelligent Virtuous Aspiring Sisters. And so it was just about building sisterhood and giving back and building that bridge. Because I know the cornerstone of any neighborhood is the family. It's the family. So I started that. That ran for 7 years. Of course, we were the nonprofit. And then I went on to start Diffusion Media. And that Diffusion Media came from full self-expression. Like, okay. And I wanted to express myself in roles that was outside of being the hooker or the welfare poster child, or, you know what I'm saying? So it was, I want to produce all positive images of what we are and where we came from. You know, we weren't in Kemet looking like, we weren't slaves. Like, I hate when people say they stole slaves. We weren't slaves. We were kings, queens, educators, scientists, mathematicians.
Exactly. It took the best of the best. If you're going to, when you go shopping for fruit, what do? Fruit, you look at it and you expect it. And you want the best that you see in that group right there.
Right.
So why would it be any different if someone wants to you want to take and create and build a whole new economy? Why would you take the sluggers and the drug addicts and the
exactly?
You want the ones who are going to be able to cultivate the land and create resources and be inventive and create things. And isn't that what happened in this country? That's what happened in this country. So, yeah.
Exactly. So that's what I wanted to do. I was like, I want to put on something that's going to be beneficial to the environment that is around. So Diffusion Media first produced Detroit Soul Commentary, which is comedy and poetry together. I did that for a couple of years and I was solo. So I was like the host, director, creator, it's a lot of work. And then later on, I hooked up with three other beautiful women and we created The Lab and then we created The Interlude. So it was like giving a safe space to create. Whether you're a creator as a painter, if you're a creator as a songstress, if you're an MC, you have the ability to come out and do. And it was like, I'd rather have you in here doing that than you out there doing something else, you know?
That's right. Yeah, that's powerful right there. Just the fact that you started with the nonprofit and just sharing your gifts and helping the youth and just expanding. So, I mean, so let's jump to the comedian. When did that part come about? I mean, obviously based on you was already putting people to sleep at a young age. I know those people in that classroom. I know whoever that boy is. I know it behind the scenes. It cracked jokes with him. You didn't jump in. You didn't laugh when he was cracking jokes in front of you or around him, did you?
I didn't do it. I feel so bad. I even apologized to him. Like, I let my temper get the best of me, and I'm sorry. I don't even remember. I don't even think it was that serious, you know, to even have an altercation. When I think about it, I'm like, well, ain't that serious? It was weird. They were cracking jokes in the class, in the lunchroom, and I was like, all right, you good. You know, and I was like, not get out of my face. And it was just like, and then that whole, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna show you.
Oh, so he never had a chance to defend himself.
He did.
Oh, okay.
He just didn't do it well.
Hey.
I mean, let me take that back. He had a chance to defend himself. It just, you know, it just was off day for him.
He was a little too late.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just
a little too late.
Just a little bit. But no, comedy started because my whole family is goofy. If we can't do nothing else, we can laugh. And my mother is really silly. And then it just came. Like, I want to see people laugh. Like, I'm like, if you can lay your burdens down, come on here for two, three, four hours and crack up. And then I done did my job. It's too much sadness in the world. I spent 3 years not smiling, being in a bad relationship. And I said, I'll never do that again. So I will never do that again. So there you go.
Yeah. That is absolutely amazing. And we're getting close to the end of this interview, but I want you to share what are the 2 to 3 main points that you've learned from your nonprofit and helping the youth. And then from there, I want you to share the 2 to 3 main points you want to share with the audience about what you're doing with your media.
Okay, so 3 more main points from the first point you made. There's always going to be somebody in need. And if you can fulfill that need, do it. We always look at like what we have and what we don't have. We hold so much onto the tangible that we don't look at the intangible. I'm not going to remember all of the jeans and stuff my aunt bought me. No, but I will remember that time she took out to make sure I was good, to make sure that, to give me that type of experience. That's what I desire for my kids, you know. And then we have to remember that even God said the needy will be among us always. And we can be a blink away from being in that same situation. And I treat people the way they want to be treated, regardless of their current situation. Like if you're homeless, I'm not going to treat you like you're the bottom of the barrel. I don't know what got you there, you know, and I can't speak to what got you there, but I can be a blink away from being there too, you know? And so the three main points is that always look to serve others. You're not here on this earth for yourself. You're not here on this earth for yourself. Even if you came in by yourself, you're not here for yourself. And you only can go to a certain position by yourself, and you need others to take you to the next level. I think that was that three main points. That was
three points. That's three. And also for the business too, because you realize you shared on the nonprofit side, but now here it is, you get the media side. So for people who I would say kind of move the needle there. So when it comes to Diffusion Media LLC, mm-hmm. What are the things you want people to learn from you and your business when it comes to that? And if you be in a service with your business to the consumers and public?
That you can have full self-expression without compromising who you are. You can build without having to sell your soul. Like you can be being you, and no one can do you better than you do you. And that will always help somebody else. Because I believe our lives are parallel to others. And they may not have the same severity, but they will have some type of level. And then and Diffusion Media gives you that place where it's full self-expression. It's no, I'm not going to censor you. You know, I'm not going to say you need to be this way to make it look good to this way. You know, it's enough of that. God made us, but he always made us very intricately. And there's no such thing as a mold. We are all our own individual mold. You're your own individual mold, you know? And so it's no one like you. So give you to the world.
That's right.
You know, and you ain't got to dim your light to make somebody else feel better.
That's right. And by you being a motivational speaker, mm-hmm. spoken word and comedian and creative writing, how can someone who want any of those services and things that you do that's a part of your talent repertoire, mm-hmm. how can they reach out to you so that they can book you for your services?
Actually, you can reach me at powerx1114@gmail.com. That is P-O-W-E-R-1114. No, I'm sorry. P-O-W-E-R-X1114@gmail.com. And you could definitely DM me on all my social medias. It's Monet Michelle. It's more excitement. It's more excitement 24/7.
That's right. I love it. See, you living the life, living that abundant life like the Bible talk about, you know, living life of excitement. You have really been an example of overcoming. You've been an example of putting your head down, putting your faith in God, and putting the action in to make a difference. And mm-hmm. I'm thankful and grateful to know.
Thank you.
To know you, because we need more people like you. We need more people who's going to share their true, authentic self and surround themselves with people who are not only accept it, but mm-hmm. people who are willing to grow in the process.
Yep, iron sharpens iron.
That's right. Proverbs 27:17 right there.
Oh, I know the word.
Oh, yeah. Well, we thank you so much for coming on the show today, because you have come with the right power moves and show how being with the right people makes a difference.
That's what's up. I appreciate it.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. We are on the Get Your Business Right show with Monet Harris on Vashani Radio, coming from New York City, where we always talk about everything. Guess what? No matter what you're going through, I love you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And we see you the same time next week.
All righty. Peace.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.